The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story of The Foolish Friend contains depictions of violence and sexual situations. Please exercise caution for children under 13. A troop of monkeys raced desperately through the jungle of southern India. They'd been eating berries when they were suddenly ambushed by a tiger. Somehow their lookout had failed, but there was no time to analyze that now. They were in mortal danger. Some of them scurried up nearby vines, but most tried to outrun the big cat. There was a large tree up ahead where they could seek refuge. The monkeys sprinted ahead. When they neared the trunk, they leapt for it. The gambit seemed to work. Many of the monkeys clambered out of reach, but the tiger made a desperate jump too. Its outstretched claws dug into the haunches of several slower monkeys. They were caught. The survivors were forced to listen to the tiger devour them down below. Once the tiger was done and disappeared into the jungle, the monkeys gathered to mourn their kin. One of the elders stepped forward.
"Who was keeping watch?"
The clan turned to a young monkey with a splash of white fur on its head. The little monkey picked sheepishly at the tree bark.
"I tried to keep lookout, but it's just not fun."
The elder scoffed.
"I'm sorry our well-being spoiled your fun. This blood is on you."
The old monkey then pointed toward the horizon.
"If I ever see you again, I will feed you to the tiger myself."
The little monkey reluctantly descended the tree. He looked around. He was all alone in the dangerous jungle, and it was getting dark. If he didn't find shelter soon, he'd be dead, too. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Spotify original from Parcast. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. This week, we're meeting the Foolish Friend. This Indian fable tells the story of a king whose choice of companions leads to his downfall and a pool of blood on palace grounds. Coming up, an old king finds a new friend. Sometime between 100 BCE and the 5th century CE, Indian royalty created a guidebook for young princes called the Panchatantra. At its heart was a collection of stories and folktales that taught lessons of morality, manners, and other pieces of wisdom about leadership. Amongst these was The Foolish Friend. For centuries, the Panchatantra was relatively unknown outside of the walls of Indian palaces, but sometime around the 6th century, the stories made their way to commoners across India. From there, they spread through the Middle East and on to Europe. The Panchatantra became so popular worldwide that some scholars claim that between 30 and 50% of the world's classic fables and nursery rhymes are influenced by it. One reason for the collection's success may be that stories like The Foolish Friend don't only appeal to young princes, they address common themes of morality and how to act in society. They asked difficult questions like, who do you trust? But sometimes the answers turned out to be deadly. King Anant listened intently to his treasurer's report. The middle-aged ruler stroked his graying beard as he noted each of the numbers and figures. 1,311 gold coins in tax revenue, 823 gold coins in expenditures. The king had been a serious man from a young age, and he appreciated numbers. He liked that they were bound by rules and formulas. They were simple, predictable, and humorless, unlike people. While King Anant jotted down numbers, he heard a giggle in the room. King Anant noticed that most of his royal advisors were yawning, dozing off, or worse, joking around with each other. Anant felt his skin prickle with anger. Not only were they disrespecting him, they were disrespecting the kingdom.
He slammed his fist on his throne. The sound snapped everyone in the room to attention. The king scowled at them.
"This is serious business. If you want playtime, perhaps you should find a new job."
Rajan, the king's head advisor, stood from his chair.
"Your Majesty, perhaps you should take a break."
Rajan had a different sort of seriousness. He had outlived 4 kings. He knew the job of ruler was tough. If a king didn't moderate himself, he could lose his motivation, or worse, his mind. The king scowled at him.
"Rajan, I'm not the one who needs a break."
Rajan swallowed a lump in his throat and proceeded carefully.
"Sire, we've been at this for hours. Perhaps we all need a break. You seem to be feeling some tension."
The king stood up and heaved his chair across the room. It splintered against a wall.
"Don't tell me I'm tense," he boomed. "I'll have your head."
Rajan held up his hands in surrender.
"Apologies, Your Majesty. I just meant sometimes we could use a little fun. Maybe you could, too."
King Anant shook his head.
"Running a kingdom is not supposed to be fun. People's lives are in my hands. If I have fun, people die."
Rajan nodded obligingly and then gave a more modest suggestion.
"Perhaps we can take a 5-minute break then?"
Anant scoffed.
"Fine, I'm going for a walk."
Outside, the king pushed past servants and staff. He wandered across the palace grounds. Who was Rajan to tell him he was tense? What an insolent old man. The king vowed to fire him when he returned to the throne room. But then he realized he had walked across the whole palace. He was now at the royal stables. Though he hadn't planned on walking this far, he was pleasantly surprised. He liked the stables. Horses never yawned or joked around during meetings. He decided to take a break and brush the animals' manes. After an hour of brushing, Anant became tired. He decided he would take a nap, so he collapsed into a pile of hay. But as the king drifted off to sleep, he heard something rustle underneath him. He jumped to his feet and backed against the wooden corral. Something was moving beneath the chaff. Panic consumed Anant. Was it a scorpion? A venomous cobra? Or worse, an assassin? The king reached for the corral gate, but he struggled with the latch. Before he could escape, something exploded from the hay. The king let out a terrified scream. But it wasn't a poisonous snake or an assassin. It was a monkey with a shock of white fur on its head. The little animal cocked its head curiously at the king. Anant sighed in relief.
"You gave me a scare, little one."
The monkey pointed at itself.
"I scared you? You almost crushed me."
The king startled back again. The monkey could speak. Before Anant could react, the little creature approached him, climbed up to his shoulder, and began picking through his hair. Anant froze. Should he call for a guard? What if the monkey had rabies? Besides, he had to get back to work. Playing with a monkey was not the businesslike image he wanted to project. But after a moment, his shoulders relaxed. It felt good to have the monkey on his shoulder. There was something comforting about it.
"They say monkeys are noble companions," he said to the little primate. "Would you like to be my new advisor?"
The monkey hopped up and down.
"Sure, that sounds like fun."
The king smiled.
"I'll call you my little Bandar."
The monkey hooted.
"Bandar, I like that. Does that mean we can play?"
The king shook his head sadly.
"When you're king, there's no time to play."
Bandar stuck out his tongue.
"No time for play? But can't a king do whatever he wants?"
Anant frowned.
"It's not as simple as that."
The monkey hopped off the king's shoulder into the hay.
"Sure it is. Maybe you just need someone to remind you how to have fun."
Bandar grabbed a handful of hay and lobbed it at Anant. The king reflexively waved it away, but several pieces stuck in his beard.
The monkey laughed jovially. A smirk spread across the king's face, too. He picked up a handful of hay and threw it at Bandar. The two went back and forth like this for an hour. Finally, they collapsed to the ground, breathless and laughing. Anant sighed.
I haven't had that much fun since.
He paused and racked his brain.
I can't remember when.
Bandar climbed onto the king's chest and tugged on his beard.
That must have been a long time ago. It sounds like you're a bit tense.
Anant reflexively pushed Bandar away.
Why does everyone say that? I am not tense!
He boomed. Anant saw the little monkey cower in fear. Everyone in the throne room had looked at him like that, too. The thought made him queasy. When had he become so harsh? He looked again at Bandar's innocent eyes and strip of white hair and smiled sadly. He stood up, not even bothering to brush off the straw.
I'm sorry, Bandar. Perhaps you're right. Let's have some fun.
Elsewhere in the palace, the mood was much less playful. Rajan, the king's advisor, called an impromptu meeting with a group of elders. They gathered in a hallway near the throne room.
Have you seen the king?
He asked them. They shook their heads.
Not since earlier,
one said. Rajan looked over his shoulder to make sure none of the servants were listening.
I think he's having a nervous collapse. I'm scared for his safety and ours.
The group of bearded men looked at each other.
What should we do?
One asked. Before Rajan could answer, they heard footsteps approaching. The group fell silent. But a few gasps broke the quiet when they saw who was approaching. It was King Anant with a monkey on his shoulder. Rajan mopped the sweat from his brow.
Your Majesty, what is that?
King Anant held his chin up proudly.
It's my new companion, Bandar. He and I are going to have some fun.
The group of elders exchanged a look with Rajan. Before anyone could respond, Bandar spoke up.
They were having fun. You can see it in their eyes.
Rajan's jaw fell open.
The monkey talks?
Anant grinned at them.
It does. Now, if you don't mind, we're going to enjoy ourselves. Perhaps you were right, Rajan. I was too tense.
The king stepped toward his advisor and hooted like a monkey. Everyone gasped. With that, the king swept past his advisor and the elders and proceeded down the hallway. One of the elders shook his head.
It's worse than I thought. What shall we do?
Rajan hung his head.
If he's losing his mind, there's only one thing we can do. Remove him from power before he hurts someone.
The group shared a look. They could all be executed for treason, but it was for the good of the kingdom. Coming up, the king and his monkey push things too far.
Wayne Simmons spent 27 years undercover for the CIA. When he retired from spy work, he got a big break. Terrorism analyst on Fox News. Then he met Kent Clisby.
So I'm a real CIA guy. This is total nonsense.
I'm Alex French, and I'm here to figure out who's telling the truth. Was Wayne Simmons a spy, or was he nothing but a con man? Imposters is a Spotify original from Parcast. Follow and listen exclusively on Spotify.
Now back to the story. King Anant sat in the royal dining room with his new companion, Bandar. The old ruler felt so refreshed from throwing straw and hooting at Rajan, and all the fun had made him hungry, so he decided to show Bandar a nice meal. But when servants brought out the king's customary dish of rice and vegetables, Bandar scoffed.
What is this?
Dinner, the king said matter-of-factly. Bandar picked at some of the grains of rice.
I know that, but why would you do this to yourself? Don't you want to enjoy life?
Anant cocked his head in confusion.
Of course, that's why I eat healthy food, so I can enjoy more life.
Bandar stuck out his tongue.
Your life may be longer, but you're not healthier. You need to enjoy your food.
The monkey hopped up on the table and instructed the king to order an entirely new meal. This time, he wanted him to request fresh fruits, savory meat dishes, fresh baked cakes, and tarts. Anant hesitated. He never ate those types of food, but he saw the enthusiasm in Bandar's eyes. He gestured for a servant to come over. Soon, the king and the monkey were eating stewed meats, rich soups, and mouth-watering desserts. It was the most delicious meal the king had ever experienced. With every bite, his body instinctively murmured, "Mmm," and a wide smile spread across his face. When they were done eating, the king reclined back on his cushion. "Thank you, Bandar. That was wonderful." Bandar wasn't done, though. He picked up a plate and smashed it to the ground. Anant was startled. "What are you doing?" he asked the monkey. Bandar hooted.
"The fun shouldn't stop now. Let's keep going."
Anant decided to pick up a plate and try it as well. Soon, the duo hopped up onto the table. Bandar danced, and Anant followed. They both hooted and howled with laughter. They kicked expensive ceramics off the table to the ground. After a while, the head kitchen servant, a tall, slender man with a smooth face, approached nervously.
"Your Majesty, sir, is it wise to destroy the dishes? They're antiques."
A chilling silence filled the hall. The king's face turned the color of a chili pepper.
"How dare you speak to me like that?"
he screamed. Anant took a plate and hurled it at the servant. It clipped the man's ear and he started bleeding. Bandar tugged on the king's beard.
"What are you doing? That's not fun."
Anant looked at him. He could see the fear in his little friend's eyes. King Anant slumped.
"Maybe Rajan was right. I am too tense. I'm just not cut out for fun."
Bandar stroked the king's beard.
"Don't worry. It might take time, but you will learn. Tell me this. What would be more fun than throwing plates at this nice man?"
The king looked around. After a moment, he had an idea. Now the king, Bandar, and the servant were throwing plates on the ground. Anant doubled over in laughter.
"I've never had so much fun in my life. I feel 40 years younger."
The monkey celebrated.
"A few more and you'll feel 50 years younger."
Before they could throw any more plates, though, a voice echoed across the hall.
"Your Majesty."
They turned to see Rajan marching toward them with a group of elders. Rajan surveyed the damage.
"Sire, have you lost your mind? These are priceless ceramics passed down from your ancestors."
The king started to droop, a guilty look painting his face. But before he could respond, Rajan pointed at Bandar.
"And you, I don't know if you're some agent from another kingdom or an evil spirit, but I want you out of here."
With that, Anant's shame was replaced with anger.
"Do not talk to my friend that way," he yelled.
Rajan shook his head.
"Your Majesty, this creature is corrupting you. It's for your own good."
He signaled for a group of guards to grab the monkey. But King Anant pulled a ceremonial sword from the dining room wall and held it in front of him. He pointed it at the guards, but his words were directed at Rajan.
"Before you said I was too tense. Now you say I'm having too much fun. Pick one, Rajan, and don't ever threaten me again. I'll have your head."
Rajan and the elder's eyes became large.
"Please don't do this, Your Majesty," he said.
But it was too late. King Anant gestured for Bandar to make a run for it. The king blocked the other's way, and then he raced after Bandar. King Anant caught up with Bandar in a distant courtyard. The old man doubled over to catch his breath.
"Wow, that was fun," he said.
Bandar jumped up and down.
"Let's have more."
As the king recovered from the run, he twirled the ceremonial sword over and over in his hands. Bandar approached and looked at it.
"Shiny," he said.
Anant looked at his little companion. Would you like it? Bandar's eyes had never been so big.
I've never had a sword.
Anant handed it to the monkey and started leading the way out of the courtyard.
Where are we going?
Bandar asked. Anant grinned at him. You'll see. King Anant and Bandar wove through the palace's passageways and porticos and finally arrived at a well-manicured building with pink marble pillars. A garden of roses and jasmine surrounded it. Through various doors, they could see women playing musical instruments, painting, and lounging on silk divans. When the women saw King Anant, they all stood at attention. Many of them looked confused. Some whispered,
"Why is the king here? He never comes to visit."
After passing several doors, King Anant stopped at one particular entryway. Bandar crashed into him from behind and dropped the sword.
"Where are we?"
he asked.
"These ladies are so pretty."
Anant looked around. "These are my wife's apartments. I don't usually come here because I'm an old man and I am too busy. But today I feel young again, so..." His voice trailed off. He took a deep breath and knocked on the door. A striking young woman with soft features and thick, dark hair answered the door. She looked shocked to see the king. She bowed to him.
"Your Majesty," she whispered.
The king smiled at her bashfully. "Priya, I'd like to introduce you to my new friend, Bandar." The young woman leaned down to greet the little monkey. Bandar swooned.
"You're very beautiful."
Priya laughed and looked back at the king.
"What a charming little fellow."
Then she bowed again.
"Your Majesty, what can I do for you?"
Even though he was king, Anant felt embarrassed to be standing there in front of her. He was never a ladies' man, as he'd heard some of the servants say. He much preferred financial reports and council meetings to romance. But Anant cleared his throat.
"The reason my friend and I have come here is to ask you to accompany us to the gardens."
Priya's eyes lit up. She had never been allowed to visit the gardens before. She nodded enthusiastically. Then she, Anant, and Bandar made their way further across the palace grounds. On the far side of the property, they found themselves in a lush garden. It was bursting with trees, flowers, and fountains. Priya gasped. Bandar climbed up to the king's shoulder, the sword dangling from his tail.
"Wow, look at this place!"
Anant gave a sad smile and guided them through.
"This used to be one of my favorite places, but I stopped coming here."
He gave them a tour of the hedgerows and flower beds. He showed them the frangipanis and delicate orchids. He had them smell various flowers and leaves. Priya squinted at the king.
"You don't seem like the same man I've heard about. They say you only like numbers and meetings."
The king laughed wistfully. "That's true, but a long time ago, I enjoyed these things. It took meeting a new friend to remind myself of it." Bandar hooted softly.
"You mean me, Your Majesty?"
King Anant nodded at him.
"Thank you, my little friend."
Bandar jumped up and down.
"Friend, friend,"
he repeated. After a moment, the king pulled the monkey aside.
"Do you think you could keep a lookout for us?"
The monkey looked around at the peaceful garden. There were definitely no tigers here. He heaved the sword up in front of him and saluted.
"You can count on me to protect you, Your Majesty."
Anant thanked him and joined Priya in a grassy patch of the garden. He looked at her beautiful hair and delicate features.
"I'm happy you're here with me, Priya," he said.
Priya blushed.
"Your Majesty, forgive me if I speak candidly. I was surprised you asked me here. You've hardly said two words to me since you claimed me as your wife."
Tears welled up in the old man's eyes.
"Perhaps I have been too serious throughout my life, but that is changing. I finally feel alive and young again."
With that, Priya understood why she had been invited here. The king might be too modest to say it, but she could give him what he needed. She batted her eyes at him. She placed a gentle hand on his leathered face.
"Your Majesty, I can finally see the joy in your eyes."
Then she laid him down on his back and helped him disrobe. When Anant and Priya finished making love, they collapsed into the soft grass. Anant breathed heavily, but his body was relaxed.
"I've never felt so happy in my life," he said.
Priya kissed him.
"Perhaps we can take a nap here and enjoy the garden some more."
The king yawned drowsily.
"Yes, I think you're right. Thank you, Priya."
And soon he nodded off. As the king and Priya slept peacefully in the garden, Bandar continued his lookout. He marched up and down the garden like a royal guard. But as time passed, he started to grow bored. He invented games to stay alert. He imagined that he was under attack by enemy forces. A plumeria tree became a looming soldier. Bandar swung the blade at it and chopped off all the limbs.
"Take that!" he called out.
He wondered what his family and friends would say if they saw him now. He was the trusted friend and lookout for a king. Plus, he was allowed to have fun. But while Bandar skirmished with imaginary enemies, true danger lurked elsewhere in the palace. Rajan and the elders met in a dark hallway. Rajan held a polished ebony box.
"For the good of the kingdom."
He opened the box to reveal a gleaming dagger. Rajan looked over the faces of the elders.
"We will need to kill him tonight."
Coming up, the king's choice of company leads to tragedy. Now back to the story. Rajan and a platoon of elders marched across the palace in search of the king. Anant had always been a serious and stoic ruler. Now he was destroying antiques, brandishing swords, and hooting at them. All of this mischief had been provoked by his new companion, a mysterious talking monkey. As Rajan searched for the troublesome duo, he hid the dagger in his sleeve. He vowed to protect the king at all costs. He would kill that monkey. He checked in Anant's usual spots, the library, the map room, even the stables, but he couldn't find him anywhere. As he was about to give up, Rajan overheard two of Anant's wives gossiping. He marched up to them and asked if they had seen the king. The two women shared a glance. They admitted that they had. Rajan tapped his foot on the ground.
"Well, where is he?" he asked.
The young woman bowed her head. She told them that the king had gone to the garden with Priya, his newest wife. Rajan was shocked. The king never went to see his wives. That monkey must be more powerful than he thought. Rajan turned to the elders.
"There's no time to waste. Let's go."
Far across the palace grounds, the king was still napping. Bandar had grown tired of battling imaginary foes like plants and trees. They were too stationary for his liking. So he graduated to fighting insects. He zeroed in on a butterfly that flapped around the garden.
"Away, assassin!"
Bandar yelled at it.
"I am the king's bodyguard!"
The monkey swung the heavy sword to slice the butterfly's wings off, but the colorful bug danced away from his reach. Bandar's shoulders slumped. He missed it. But then he noticed a worthy opponent. A honeybee buzzed past him and headed in the direction of the sleeping king. Its stripes reminded him of the tiger that ambushed his old tribe of monkeys. Bandar recalled the aftermath of that tragic day, the carnage of dead monkeys, and his shame at being responsible.
"Never again,"
Bandar whispered to himself. Then he snapped back to the garden. He saw the bee zooming toward the king.
"Oh, no, you don't!"
Bandar called after it. He tore off after the bee. He swung the sword with all his might, but he was too far behind. He only succeeded in cutting through the air. The monkey picked up the blade again and pursued even faster. In a stroke of luck, the bee landed on a nearby hydrangea bush.
"That's it,"
Bandar said.
"Stay right there."
He swung the blade, slicing the plant in two, but the bee escaped unscathed. This violent ballet continued over and over across the garden. Soon, the monkey had chopped up half the plants, and yet the bee continued on. After every skirmish, the bee got closer and closer to the king, until finally it landed on his nose. The monkey was outraged. Of all the places in the garden to land, it had the audacity to land right on his new friend's face. The yellow insect was taunting him. But Bandar would show it. He planned to kill the insect once and for all. He took aim and raised the sword high in the air. He loomed over the bee. He thought of how happy the king would be when he learned what a good job he had done. He would probably be rewarded with a feast, perhaps his own apartment at the palace. He thought back to his life with the other monkeys in the jungle. They had banished him for being a bad lookout. Well, he'd show them. He closed his eyes and brought the sword down in a mighty swing. Even with his eyes clamped tightly, Bandar knew the blade had struck the bee. The buzzing suddenly stopped. He dropped the hilt of the sword and danced away.
I got the bee! I got the bee, Your Majesty! I'm a good lookout now!
But his celebration was interrupted by a young woman screaming. It was Priya, the king's young wife.
You monster!
She screamed. Bandar turned around, and that's when he saw the most gruesome image of his life. Not only had he destroyed the bee, he had cleaved the king's skull in two. Gray brain matter spilled out, and a lake of blood spread quickly across the ground. Priya sprung up.
What have you done?
She stammered. Bandar collapsed on the ground and wept. He remembered the massacre in the jungle. He had done it again. He was so ashamed. At that moment, Rajan and the elders arrived in the garden. They saw the destruction of chopped trees and flowers. What happened here? They asked. But nothing prepared them for what they would find. On the far side of the garden, they found the mutilated king, attended by Priya and the monkey. Bandar scuffed the ground with his feet.
There was a bee! I was trying to protect him!
But even the monkey realized how guilty he sounded. Rajan's rage boiled over.
Murderer!
He yelled. He dove for the monkey.
You're going to hang for this!
Rajan was surprisingly quick, but he was no match for the monkey. Bandar jumped out of the way. The monkey retreated against the high wall of the garden.
You don't understand, he told them. I was his friend!
Rajan shook his head.
I knew you were an agent of evil.
He whistled for guards to capture the monkey. Bandar ducked under their hands and bounded across the garden. The guards chased him, but the monkey was too quick. He climbed one of the few remaining trees and leapt to the top of the wall. He made one final appeal.
I'm sorry, he was my only friend.
But Rajan yelled after him.
Then you are a foolish friend indeed. If you are ever seen in the palace again, you will be executed.
Bandar took one final look at the garden in ruins. He glimpsed the mutilated head of his friend, the king. His shame swelled. Where could he go? He was exiled from the jungle, and now he was banished from the world of man. With nowhere left to go, he jumped from the wall down to a dirt road. He raced through the neighboring village and into the countryside. Even as the palace disappeared behind him, he kept running, and he vowed never to stop until he was free of the shame. Back in the garden, Rajan collapsed next to the king's bloody corpse. He wept bitterly. He too blamed himself for Anant's death. If he had been a better friend to the king, none of this would have happened. At first glance, the title of The Foolish Friend seems like an obvious message. It refers to Bandar, the sword-wielding monkey. He's the fool whose carelessness leads to the king's death. And yet, the story isn't called The Foolish Monkey. The word friend may have been left deliberately ambiguous. It forces the audience to consider, who is the real fool, the monkey, or the king for choosing him? When The Foolish Friend was first added to the Panchatantra, its goal was to encourage young princes to consider their friends wisely. In the centuries that followed, it brought the same lesson to the general public. Even today, more than 1,000 years later, the message of the foolish friend is still timeless. It reminds us that if we're not careful, our friends could lead us astray. And if you come across a talking monkey, beware. It may be cute, but it could be deadly. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back next Wednesday with a new episode. You can find more episodes of Tales and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. Join me next week for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales is a Spotify original from Parcast. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler. Sound design by Nick Johnson, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Isabella Way. This episode of Tales was written by Joseph Bricker, with writing assistance by Nora Battelle, fact-checking by Adriana Romero, and research by Mickey Taylor. I'm Vanessa Richardson.